That's what we're called.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. I can't believe it. And I want to say it very, very clearly. I stand corrected. I said all week, you don't trade for Rafi Devers and then sell. You're pot committed. And I know, and I acknowledge,
yep.
You're not wrong when you say that we're not in full sell mode yet. I got a lot of money says by tomorrow afternoon, you will be ready to change your tune on that, that this is full-blown white flag mode, because I'm literally, we're being told both on the internet and on my phone, privately, that Verlander and Doval and possibly
more, yeah,
are going to be gone. The Giants are out. The Giants are out on 2025.
It seems that way.
Unbelievable.
And you could sell and still go on some sort of a run and hang in the race. You're allowed to do that.
Sure,
and
sure.
You've got a lot of underachievers who won't be traded. And if they start to achieve and become even overachievers, things could potentially happen that go your way. But right now, one trade in and you take your, third best reliever and you trade him for three players who are close to being major leaguers. Some of them already are. That to me is not a full-on sell. It's a little bit of a reshuffle. It's a move that, for sure, next year is going to look better than it does in this very moment.
You would think.
And, you know, Blade Tidwell's the guy, second-round pick, and somebody who, you know, absolutely will be a major league starter, I think. He's a back-end-of-the-rotation guy, based on what I've read about his high school collegiate, his early pro. He's a major league pitcher and probably a starter, so for next year, it'll probably look better than it does right now, but I'm not ready to call this a sell.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. I understand where you're coming from there. I actually do look at it, though, as a sell from this perspective. I think what happened is just that the Giants put essentially an all-star level reliever on the market at the last minute. Like, these guys were not available.
A week ago, yeah.
They were not available 24 hours ago. But they're available last night, and if you are a contending team, and let me be clear again, the Giants are not. If you're a contending team and you've been having these phone calls for 2 weeks, and what you want are bullpen arms, and at the last second the Giants suddenly call, who essentially, by the way, and I know only Randy Rodriguez made the All-Star team, but Camilo Duvall is a former All-Star, and Tyler Rogers, they lobbied for him to be an All-Star this year. They have all-star level relievers who have not been a part of the conversation. And so you get to 24 hours to go to the deadline, and all of a sudden the Giants call, and they're like, hey, how about Tyler Rogers and Camilo Duvall? And we know that there were reports that the Mets wanted to leave town with Duvall earlier this week,
right,
when they were
right.
here.
We were joking about kidnapping yesterday.
There you go. So this was clearly the Giants saying, we know that we can get a very big return, which is why you don't take minor leaguers that are in single A. You take minor leaguers who are in triple A.
Right.
People who could be on the major league team either later this year or next year. And so you're right. That's why it doesn't feel like a full-blown sell. I firmly believe that by this time tomorrow, you will have that full-blown sell feel, because it's not just going to be Tyler.
And it might be before our show ends today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're starting to see J.P. Morosi talking about Verlander, and I hadn't seen that tweet when I threw that out on the crossover. It's just something I thought about last night, where he's clearly frustrated, and he didn't talk to reporters, which is very unusual in a spot like that. When he didn't get lit up, he didn't get squeezed or lose his temper. He's a 42-year-old veteran, and, you know, I don't think that he is that guy, but whatever took place was frustrating enough. And, you know, maybe he was out there calling his agent and he didn't want to make himself available.
I wonder, and look, we can all read this however we want, and so I have no idea, kind of like, was he frustrated with something? I would more lean toward, because the start, for those of you who don't know, the starting pitcher always talks.
Yep.
Period. No matter what. Like, not even just at the locker. There's a specific spot that is built for the starting pitcher to come in the clubhouse and sit with the assembled media and talk. And Justin didn't do that last night, and I believe it's because the San Francisco Giants probably stepped in and said, we're not going to have you talk because we don't want you to have to answer the question you're probably going to get, which is, it's like to be on a different team,
right?
As opposed to, hey, was the fastball working tonight? The kinds of questions would be like, are you going somewhere? And I don't think the Giants wanted that kind of stuff answered yet because they probably wanted to lay in the weeds, which they sure did because this caught everybody by surprise today.
When you think about from the final out last night to about 1:15 today when the news breaks that Tyler Rogers has been traded and Buster clearly frustrated after that game, he probably spent the majority of the night last night, got up early today, and was just canvassing the league saying, oh yeah, remember 2 weeks ago how I said we're looking to add and keep our guys intact? Well, now, who are you looking for? Mets GM?
Yep.
Hey, Cardinals, now that you've passed us, what interests you about our flailing roster? And so, what a difference two games makes, and it's been more than that, and all of a sudden you get past last night, which I think was a new low point, and you know, Buster's not acting out of just pure temper, but you get to this point and you're 54-54. At some point, you got to make hard decisions.
Brother, the Marlins, D-backs, Pirates, Braves, Nats, Rockies. That's who the Giants are ahead of right now in the National League.
That's it?
That's the list.
That's the list?
That's the list.
Yeah.
And you know, you got your three wild card teams, and then you got two more teams ahead of you before the San Diego Padres, and you're a full five out from that third spot. And so, Mr. Optimism over here, Mr. Homer, I am in full agreement. No, your playoff possibilities are no longer realistic, and I mean that not even just from a mathematical standpoint. I mean that from what I think is the way Buster looked at this particular week at home where you lost, remember now, all of your games, the entire pitching rotation faced the Mets and the Pirates, and you lost them all. And you didn't just lose them all. You had characteristics throughout. You had a game against Pittsburgh where you only mustered two hits. You had people who didn't know the infield fly rule. You had people who had balls thrown at them and they didn't know where they were coming from.
You had a ball thrown over a guy's head who was 22 feet away.
You had all of these things. Like, you had those games against the Mets where you had the lead in both of the games over the weekend in the late innings, and you found ways to lose those baseball games and have all the fans rush to the radio to talk about how that damn triples alley did us in again. This is what happened just over the last 5 days. And so I really believe that this is the way Buster Posey thinks because he's talked about it in the past. When it comes to the trade deadline, you look at the team and what they're doing, and sometimes you make a deal just because they've earned a deal, and sometimes you don't because they haven't. And that is very, very clearly in ink what has happened over the last 3 weeks. This team has not earned. They have not earned anything near help at all.
Yeah.
And so that's it. So that's a wrap. And again, yeah, if you're just joining us, here's the deal. Tyler Rogers is now on his way to the Mets, which means the Giants will actually get to try to hit against him starting on Friday. That'll be fun. Tyler Rogers is a New York Met, and in return, they are getting Blade Tidwell, who is a starting pitcher who's been up and down from AAA this year, but is pretty much Major League ready, 24 years old. Drew Gilbert, AAA outfielder, and those two guys are the number 10 and 12 prospects in the Mets organization. And then they're also getting 27-year-old Jose Buto, who is a Major League member of the Mets bullpen. So if you're a baseball person, all of them are saying, dude, this is a huge return.
Yep.
For a 34-year-old free agent to be sidewinding reliever. It's a huge return. But again, that's all on paper. It's also three people that no Giants fans have ever heard of.
Right, and so until they come up and actually do things at Third and King, it's going to feel like a sell. And, you know, Blade Tidwell is the one who he might come up. He's pitched in four games. He started two. He's been back down in AAA. But you look at a Giants team, and this trade goes through. And put aside the Verlander question for a moment, but right now your rotation is Ray Webb and Verlander and Carson Wisenhunt in a bullpen spot.
And Roop when he's ready, yeah.
Right, so Roop, yeah. I think he's still a week away. And
at least,
yeah. Yeah, and that might be a couple weeks, depending on if he needs a rehab start or if he can just throw on the side or simulated game.
Well, now, yeah, there's no rush now.
Exactly, but I think that you might see Blade Tidwell get an early crack at being that guy. And you mentioned Buto. He's a reliever, so you replace a reliever with another reliever. And Buto's not as good as Rodgers, but there's an arm that you can put in the pen.
And Eric Miller may come back at some point. Don't know exactly what's going on there. And, oh, by the way, there's a statement you made yesterday, which I agreed with then, and now it's probably factually incorrect.
Oh, boy.
It's the idea that Hayden Birdsong will not pitch for the Giants again this year.
That's a fair point.
Now he will. Now he will.
Well, perhaps. As soon as you really fall out. I mean, they're not all the way out yet. And I know that you're reacting angrily. They're only five out.
No.
Padres are leading today, so make it five and a half.
They're allowed to come back, but this isn't about like whether or not they can come back or how realistic that is. It's more about organizational philosophy. And as we sit here today, the organizational philosophy is that we are now looking at 2026. So why wouldn't you pitch Hayden Birdsong? Pitch him this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
let's go. Why not? That's the philosophy. By the Camilo Duvall has pitched his last pitch for the Giants.
You think so?
I firmly believe
I mean, you still have, I guess today would be the last crack at it. And then the deadline is now in 24 hours and 34 minutes.
Correct.
So that's right around the corner. You may be right. For Birdsong, I want to see him actually look like a professional pitcher again before I throw him to the wolves. But you're right. If this continues on this trajectory, then Birdsong will get probably some September looks. But right now, he's lost. He's lost.
Right. He had another start in the minors where he actually was able to throw the ball over the plate a little bit. So that's nice. I'm sure that they're going to do a little bit more work with him before they bring him back up. But the way this is heading, you're going to see Hayden again this year. In fact, I would firmly push for it because if he's going to be a part of things going forward, you got to get him back into the major leagues and let him do it when the stakes are not nearly as high. And apparently we have arrived at that spot a little bit quicker than we thought.
Yeah, boy, what a difference. Not only a week or two makes, but last night, you think about from the end of that game to 1:13 when Buster strolls down into the bullpen and says, Tyler, I have to talk to you, and he leaves the bullpen and now he's on a plane. That thing has accelerated quickly.
No doubt. And by the way, what Dibs is saying, that happened today. That happened. You just walked a bullpen, and that's it. You're leaving, and that news clearly gets to everybody, and that's it. Like, the team now knows. You're out.
Yep.
You're out, according to your own front office. You're out. We're sponsored by Safeway. There's plenty to get to on Jonathan Kuminga throughout the show. We will. But your reaction to essentially what feels like the San Francisco Giants waving the white flag on 2025. They trade Tyler Rogers. We're told more are on the way. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is your only place to talk about it right now. This is Willard and Dibs.
Right on the infield fly rule will be called. Now Ramos has got to get back.
Unbelievable.
Elliot Ramos did not know the rules, and that's the infield fly rule. You don't have to move.
As far as Elliot goes, just lost track of the rule. You know, he saw him call the infield fly rule, just lost track what he needed to do.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Lost track of the rule.
Right.
Talk about, I mean, that's all on NBC Sports Barrier last night, by the way. Thank you.
It would be like a wide receiver catching a 7-yard slant and cutting up field and seeing another receiver 20 yards further downfield and just throwing him the ball. Pass to Juwan. He's at the 25. He throws it deep. What Watkins, 10-5 touchdown.
Oh, honestly, I don't know about you. I'm way more offended by this than the whole Kyle Shanahan overtime thing. Way more offended. Like, not even close. This is like, this isn't lost track of the rule. This should be, honestly, this should just simply be second nature. This is washing your hands after you go to the bathroom. You don't lose track of that unless you're 7 years old.
The infield fly rule was created by the National League in 1895.
But what do you do when you...
1895. This is not the NFL new funky overtime rule, which is, what, 3 years old? Yeah. I don't even know, but that thing's a newborn. This infield fly rule is half as old as this country. 130 years old. It's more than half as old. 1895. They decided, you know what? Orville? We should stop letting these guys intentionally drop pop-ups so they can turn too. Let's make up a rule. 1895. So I'm with you.
If I'm on second base, and whether I lose track of something or if Juwan Jennings starts throwing the ball forward down the field, whatever the hell happens.
Yep.
If I'm on second base and the ball gets popped up in the air and there's one out, what do you do, hot shot?
Yep.
What do you do?
Well, it's got to be first and second or, first and second.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm on base and there's not two outs and the ball goes straight up in the air, if even there's then confusion in your brain, what do? I'm going to go back to the base.
Just chill on the base.
Go back to the base.
Yeah. Just go back.
If you want to take off and run like hell for third base, you can. And if he decides, like he did, to drop the ball, well, you're going to look like a genius. But here's one thing that I promise you 100% of the time won't work. Go stand in between the two bases.
Yeah.
And then look into the sky. Of course Buster Posey walked away from yesterday throwing his hands up.
Probably throwing more than that.
What the hell are we doing out here?
Right. And how many of these have we had? Just straight up base running gaffes and defensive misplays and bad angles and throws that hit the other team's batter runner because all three of you were not on the same page. And so the second baseman just hucked it. And the reliever, who's now a Met, is looking at another base. And Rafael Devers is going, I'm playing first. Look at me. I'm playing first, guys. This is kind of, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm playing first.
Hey, Lucas, will you find, and take as long as you want, but will you?
That didn't take that long.
Will you find John Miller's call when Ruben Rivera, just Google it. Gosh, you're so young. Just go Google John Miller, Ruben Rivera, and get the call of Ruben Rivera running around the bases like an absolute crazy person for what felt like a minute and a half. And having John, that's the only thing that I've seen in my lifetime on the base paths of Giants baseball worse than what I saw last night. Oh, here it is.
Nicky Perez on deck. Rivera leading from first. Grace holding on the bag against him. The pitch. Swing it. There's a shot. Deep in the right center. Racing back to Lucci. Still going back into Death Valley. It goes right over his glove. He missed it. But Ruben Rivera missed second base. Now he's heading for third and they're going to throw him out by plenty. But the corner third is back. Now he's heading home. The loose ball in the infield. And he's out by 5 feet at the plate. And that was the worst base running in the history of the game. The game should be over, and Ruben Rivera just did the worst base running you will ever see. Unbelievable. Ruben Rivera had gone around second base, and then for some reason seemed to assume that the ball was caught in the outfield. He got totally lost and confused out there and started to go back to second base as Grissom was pulling in at second. Ruben Rivera was the only man in the ballpark, apparently, who did not know what just happened. And that was the worst base running in the history of the game.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
And thank you, Lucas. That was on Fox many, many years ago.
25 years ago.
And that was worse than last night, but only that. Only that was worse.
You'd be hard-pressed, and this is coming off another bad base-running move by the same player, and so it's just been a complete cacophony, a collection of errors. Little fundamental stuff where if you're going to be pitching in defense, the pitching has been mostly great, the defense is not, and then now we're going to throw in base-running calamities to the mix for a team that only gets two hits? No wonder why you've lost 12 of 14.
Well, something happened to Ramos. I mean, he's not been a good defender all year, but something on this, even on the previous road trip, you know, where like, you know, Willie Adames is like 10 feet from him and he just lost his damn marbles out on a baseball field. He can still hit, but I don't know if there's anything else that he can do right now. He can't catch a ball.
Yep.
He can't throw
a ball. He can't cut off
a ball. Right. He can't run the bases. He has absolutely right now no clue what the hell happens when you put on a baseball uniform.
And he's not alone, and that's why you have Buster Posey do what he did in a rash fashion today where you trade one of your best relievers. Tyler Rogers goes to the Mets, and yep. You know, you're mentioning your sources tell you there's more to follow. Logic would indicate there's more to follow. We mentioned Yaz and Verlander as possibilities. Camilo Doval could get a nice haul back. Camilo Doval.
I knew that was coming.
Had to be. Lighten the mood.
I know. The mood is light.
But I've got people on Twitter.
I know. What'd they say? That I need your shoulder or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. This. I want to get the person out there from 510 MLP.
Oh, what up, MLP?
On X. Willard the Homer needs your shoulder.
Yeah, so I don't need a shoulder.
You want to bring it in during the break? I'm here
for
you.
That's fine. Okay. I love a good hug. I'm a hugger. That's fine. But I don't need a shoulder or a hug. I really don't. Like I am completely fine. I am trying to allow how I actually feel right now to connect directly with what I feel the situation is. I'm blown away. This is stunning to me. This is stunning. And maybe to some of you, this isn't stunning. And part of that is, you know, sort of whatever you thought was the baseline for the San Francisco Giants this year. And they were at least slightly overperforming for a certain period of time. But I think even the biggest cynic has to admit that what we've seen since the All-Star break is underperforming. The Giants are not the worst team in baseball.
Since they got Devers,
but they are right now.
Yeah. Well, since the Devers trade, they have the worst record in baseball.
And so I'm just trying to tell you what this is. Like, we're not half-stepping. Oh, it's a good baseball deal, and so maybe they'll still. No. Buster is livid and giving up. I see this, and I know you don't agree with me yet, and that's fine. I see this as a complete and total white flag that literally wasn't even in the plan Sunday night when they went to bed. But it is now. Like, the Giants, according to reports, got on the phone last night, or maybe it was a mass email, and said, give us a call. Yard sale. Yard sale. I know that we talked 3 days ago, and we wanted your reliever. We wanted your starter. Now you can have ours. We're done here. And it is stunning. This is an absolutely tremendous collapse. And I'm against anybody saying, well, I mean, the Giants weren't really going to be in it this year or whatever. Like, it's okay. It's not okay. It's just not. This is a disaster.
Yeah.
In terms of the launching point for Posey, for Bob Melvin, for Rafi Devers. Devers came here and feel how that felt 6 weeks ago. Unbelievable optimism and excitement. And Giants baseball ran the town for a couple of weeks, and they finally had their power hitter here at Oracle Park and all of that. And that's what it comes to on July 30th? A white flag? Great. Maybe this will be wonderful in 2028. Good Lord. That's not what I came here for. And so I find this to be an absolute calamity.
Yeah,
over the last month.
And it's the way they've gone about losing, which is to say they've done it in about, they've lost 12 of 14. They've done it in 12 different ways. And I just was starting to click through this losing stretch. And, you know, going into the break, you lose to the Dodgers in 11 where you just, you held them off, and you couldn't get that automatic runner aboard, and you lose it. You come out of the break, no runs on 11 hits, Mark, against Toronto. No runs on 11 hits. So even when you have the bats kind of going, you can't score. Yep. When the pitching is good, the offense is a no-show. When the offense is good or mediocre, well, then the pitching has a hard time. The fielding has been patently bad, and the base running, we've already detailed it. So the idea of complementary baseball is you got your ace out there, he's dealing. Go out there and get four runs, and you're going to win 90% of those games. But those are the games where it's 1-1 into the seventh.
What day was it that Buster said it's time to go? Twice? Can you look that up? Well, I would love to know the date of Buster Posey saying it's time to go. We feel like we are a much better team than what we've shown. It's time to go. What was the date, Lucas? Do we have it?
No? I see this looking it up, but it's also, I think he said go time.
Did he say go time? I thought he said it was time to go, but it means the same thing.
Yeah, I believe it was June 4th is when that was said.
Okay.
Yeah, because after that, they immediately went 3-0. After the it's time to go, mm-hmm. go Diego, go, as mm-hmm. is always played in my house now. So it worked, and then you get Devers, and then from then on, it's just been more than a slog. It's mm-hmm. been just bad baseball.
And less than 2 months later, it's time to stop.
I wonder if he said that to Tyler Rogers today.
It's time to stop.
It's time to go.
Yeah, to New York.
Right.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Let's talk to some of y'all. Theo in the East Bay. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call. Look, loving the show. This is pretty cool. I mean, I'm watching the game right now, and I love the energy of the show. I don't know what the radio etiquette is on that, but, man, I love it. This is cool. But anyways, look, Buster Posey, man, I always felt like he was going to be 1 year away. And, I mean, let's face it, this team overachieved in the beginning of the season, the beginning of the half. And you know what? He made a move, and that's what Devers was. But, you know, now that it's kind of looking like what we've expected to be, I think Buster Posey is going to start molding this team into his own moving forward. I mean, let's face it. None of these guys are his guys, so we'll see what next year looks like. But, yeah, this season, what a roller coaster ride, man. Been crazy, but I'm already looking forward to next year.
All right. Cheers, boys. Theo, thank you.
Thanks, Theo.
While I appreciate completely Theo's thoughts and also kind of the energy behind it, I would offer a different take. Let me put it to you this way. First of all, to say that the Giants just totally overachieved and it was never about this year. We detailed this for you yesterday. The Giants are seventh in baseball in active payroll. That's not a team that's planning for the future. The Giants traded for Rafi Devers. The Giants have two all-stars in their starting rotation and for most of the year have had the best bullpen in the entire league. That's not a team that's overachieving
yep.
or shooting for next year.
And a reliever in the All-Star game, and
thank
you could have had two.
And you could have had two.
And maybe even three.
Right. So that's not a team that they're actually not that good. No, no, no. I know they don't have a fancy Dodger lineup or a fancy Padre lineup, but they have players, and they are spending buckets of money on this team. And they have a very high-performing pitching staff. That is a team with which you can win. And they just stopped. They just completely stopped. And it's largely because, A, the lineup is still not what it needs to be, but B, it's what you just detailed. A lot of this stuff on a nightly basis is just stupid. It really is. Like, every night, it's not the Giants got beat, it's you're rubbing your temples going, I can't believe that happened. And then the next night, it's I can't believe that happened. How the hell do you not know the infield fly rule? Stuff like this. That's the indictment. That's yep. the indictment on Bomel and everyone, for that matter. It's a huge indictment.
It is, and it just has become such a pattern of frustration. And like I was telling you before, you start to tick through the games, and you know Robbie Ray goes out and holds a very good Met team, mostly at bay, and the Giants commit two errors, and you lose 2-1 in that game. And you know, you had the Hayden Birdsong game where he didn't get an out. Okay, now you've got to go. And so as you go through all these losses, you start to look at the problem And now you think about, you know, replacing guys and moving guys, and you get to this point where you're back to 500, and now it's less about that, and it's more about just trying to shore something up for the future.
Also want to say this, Boxer and Gerson, Work Injury Attorneys text line. I think this is another interesting thing to add to what we're talking about is this a sell? Is it a full sell? Is it a partial sell? 408 says, think about who they traded with. Because this trade is with the Mets, it definitely feels like a big sell. And I think that's an interesting point. That's an interesting way to look at it also. Like, if you're trading with the Mets,
right?
You ain't the buyer. You are not the buyer. The New York Mets are going for a World Series, and they want Tyler Rogers to be a part of it. And, you know, so good for Tyler, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Good for Tyler. Tyler's going to the playoffs this year.
And you look at the Mets, and that would be a team that you essentially would be trying to catch. I know they're going to win the division. Maybe they won't.
Maybe.
Philadelphia, who knows?
Right,
but
there.
It's a team that is ahead of you in the overall standings. And so, yeah, the mindset would be, oh, we don't want to help them. We want to catch them. And just looking back at the game that had to be, Sunday, winning pitcher for the Mets, Jose Buto.
Oh, perfect.
So there you go. He came in the fifth, and, you know, the Giants were, of course, down 2-1 at that point. And so Buto gets the W. Buster's probably like, I like the cut of his
gym. I like that guy.
He's a new Giant.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Part of the trade today.
No, clearly there were conversations happening up in the suites while the Giants and Mets were playing one another. And I by then, even though they hadn't lost 2 to the Pirates yet and they hadn't forgotten the infield fly rule yet, clearly Buster was preparing for at least the possibility that this was falling apart and wasn't going to turn around. And then they lost all 3 of those. Then they lost 2 more. And again, that's not me saying that. There's the report is out courtesy of Pabs that the phone call went out last night to let the league know our relievers are now available. And so that's why the belief is that Camilo Duvall is also going to be in a different uniform by tomorrow.
It's very possible. And, you know, you start to look at the anatomy of all these losses, and you're leading the Mets 3-2 into the seventh,
yep.
And things are lining up, right? Because you got this great bullpen. So you go to Randy Rodriguez, and he pitches 1, and then he gets into a second inning. It's bop, bop, 2 big flies, and now you're trailing, and we know how that goes. So
yep.
Even when you have things lined up of late, and you played a clean game that day, you mustered at 6 hits, actually, which is a pretty big haul.
That's
still not enough because the bullpen couldn't get it done.
Let's go to Gary in Daly City. Hi, Gary. Thank you for calling. What's up?
How you guys doing? Been a fan since the 60s. I was just saying, one, there was never an adult in the room. Like, just say a John McVay, Jerry West, somebody that Buster could learn under. He kind of is doing this on the fly because he's surrounding himself with the same guys that Farhan had around him. But I would say right now, back the truck up. I've been saying this before. What's the wrong with calling the New York Yankees and say, what do you want for Rafael Devers in the American League East? My mom always said it never hurts to make a call. You might not like the answer, but at least you make the call. Call around to see what you can see what these guys can offer. Robbie Ray's got 1 more year left. And how many throws left in his arm?
Well, Robbie Ray comment is not a crazy one. Respectfully, Gary, I think the Devers one is. I get the point that you're trying to make. But by the same token, we're 6 weeks removed from the Giants making an 8-year commitment. I don't think one, although hefty, losing streak would change that philosophy. That sounds like a little bit too much of an about-face for me.
I still would just call around and ask about a lot of different guys on the team to see what you can get.
Sure.
Because it doesn't hurt. Because it just right now, this is, I mean, and then you extend Bowmel for 1 more year, which is insane. I mean, there was no reason for that. I mean, right. And also, he needs to bring, like I said, he needs to bring a Ned Colletti, a baseball guy in the front office that can teach Buster the ropes.
Well, Gary, thank you.
Zach Manassian's been around,
yeah,
right?
He is a baseball guy.
Kyle Bailey, we had him on earlier in the week, head of scouting.
Look, Buster Posey, when did he join the ownership group? Like, I think that there's no doubt that Buster has been learning. Buster has been learning, and I don't think there's any evidence to the idea that he's doing things like Farhan. He's walked in here and done the exact opposite. He's walked in here and handed out long-term contracts to 2 players, makes a humongous trade and another commitment to another player, and has everyday position players all over the diamond. Very little platooning going on, a little bit in right field, a touch over at second base, and that's it. And that's largely because they don't have a good player at either of those positions. Right. They would freely change that too if they could. So I don't think there's any Farhan residue on Buster Posey at all. I'll admit that, yeah, he's still learning on the job, but I don't think that any of his moves so far have been silly or out of pocket. He does not share the public's opinion about Bob Melvin. And what I would say to that right now is that's still very much TBD. And sure, it is popular today when they're playing like this to come down the road of the manager. And I'm not going to say that that's unfair, but I also don't think that that's fully come into focus yet either. And if I got players out there losing track of the infield fly rule,
right,
yeah, you can get mad at the manager. I'm going to get more mad at the player. This is Major League Baseball.
Yes, for me, it's more about the general sloppiness of the team, and that's not a direct reflection on the manager, but similarly, when your hitters are also really struggling, that can be an indictment of the hitting coach. Doesn't mean that you necessarily fire a guy right away because you've lost 12 or 14, but it's something to keep an eye on moving into the offseason. And you gave Bob Melvin 1 year. You gave him an extra year. It's not like you gave him 5 years. So you get into next year, Mark, and if it's going like this again with them playing this sloppily, I guarantee you that Bob Melvin will be in a tougher spot next year.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. There is Jonathan Kuminga news. We will be getting to it shortly. However, still licking wounds and figuring out what appears to be a white flag for the San Francisco Giants as they trade Tyler Rogers, and we're told more are on the way. 888-957-9570 as the Giants say forget it on 2025, at least in my eyes. What do you think? We'll take your calls. It's Willard and Dibb.